They did it this way.
After we'd written the first three, we dried up, couldn't think of anything.
They did it that way.
We never thought of ourselves as playwrights at all.
They did it another way.
Within minutes, the BBC banned it.
I did it my way!
Ray and Alan, welcome to Seven.
Hello, nice to be here.
Well, I like to be anywhere, really. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I don't mind. 7 I like, it's a good number.
Well, we're on 7, and coming up, we're going back down your way, including two examples of Hancock coming up in the next 3 hours, threatening letters in a moment, and then a very special outing for an audio version of the Radio Ham in the last half hour. So it's all happening. But to how much of Hancock the man was actually portrayed in Hancock the character?
How much do you reckon? We took what we had of Hancock and built on it and gave him new ideas, gave him new points of view and all that, really. You know, none of it is real as such. Just gradually built it up.
When we first started writing for Tony, the persona he was using was totally different to the one we remember from Hancock's Half Elf. Was still educating Archie, you know, the schoolmaster. It was all a bit, oh, my word, oh, little wooden boy, oh, you know, it was a very sort of, almost based a bit on Will Hay, in terms of the seediness of the character. And what we gradually did was change, make him more like himself. So, you know, we wrote himself in his own image, really. He wasn't like the person, the character that we developed, but he sounded like him. If you met him in the street, you said, "Oh, it's Tony Hancock." You know, if you heard him, you'd say, "It's Tony Hancock." But he was much more intelligent than the character. I mean, he was a buffoon the way we wrote him, but he wasn't like that at all. But a lot of these characteristics we managed to capture.
So looking back over your radio years, which, in your opinion, was the best series of Hancock? Was it better in the early days, or when you finished, it was, you know, really firing?
Well, the funny thing about the last series is he was on his own. It was Hancock alone. And people, if they have any reservations at all, it's because they think he was not good enough to be without Sid, really. And we say, well, did you like the blood donor? Yeah. Did you like the Bowmans? Did you like the lift? You know, Sid wasn't in any of those. So the trouble is, we only did the one series. Had we done more, I think people would have realised and got over the Sid thing. But that was the best series, I think.
It changed the whole oeuvre, as I believe they say. From 54, we used to do things that were quite cartoony. Even that was on radio. I mean, I remember once during the train strike in 1956, we had him running his own railway, which consisted of a pie stall for the restaurant car, a four-poster bed as the sleeping compartment, on this actual train that was actually running and taking passengers. I mean, totally, no, cartoon. Totally unreal. We had him building a rocket ship to the Mars, you know, totally unreal things. We gradually got rid of those and concentrated on things that were, you know, realistic. And towards the end of this, I think the last three or four series, radio and television, we got away from Sid being a crook all the time. We made him just his personal friend. Everything became much more realistic, which is the way we wanted to do it in the first place, you know.
But it doesn't mean that we can't listen again to old shows or read the scripts, which you have to do occasionally for various reasons, and not get a laugh out of them.
Well, we have got some questions from 7 listeners for you.
Oh, really?
And Splanky.
Oh, more than 7, oh, you mean listeners?
You mean
there 7?
Are. We have more than
well,
7.
I'm sure we've got more than 7 listeners,
oh,
too,
oh,
7,
right.
I'd like to
okay.
think.
Wonderful. All right.
Let's say fingers crossed. Now, Splanky, don't ask me why they called that. They ask, what are your views on the various dramatisations of Hancock's life, going back to Heathcote Williams' stage play, Hancock's Last Half Hour, and have you ever been tempted to try your own version?
No.
I mean, which I think, first of all, to the first question, what do we think of? Well, I've yet to see one that bears any relation to the actual truth. I mean, Hancock wasn't like he is portrayed in these things. It's not only Hancock. I mean, they did one about Steptoe and Son recently, and that also bore no relation to it. They got on, like a house on fire. I've got to bear in mind also that most of the drama of Hancock's life was in the last 2, 3, 4 years after we'd split with him. That's to say that we weren't party to what went on. We weren't around. But the 9 years that we were around, everything was in the garden was fine. You know, we had no problems at all.
OK, well, let's move on to our first selection. We've got The Threatening Letters from Hancock's Half Hour. Why did you choose this one?
The Threatening Letters. Do you remember that one, Ray?
Yeah, I think it was all based on one actual letter, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yes, I've forgotten that, yeah.
He showed us the fan letter, and it said, "Dear Mr. Hancock, I'll just let you know that I hate you. My wife hates you, all my family hates you, and everybody down our street hates you." And I don't know if the line was in or not, but it seemed to be another one. If you come up our way, you'll get a right bashing.
I remember we finished it by saying, "Yours sincerely, a well-wisher," or something. But that was the fact that he received this letter. What a lovely idea. We're based on this dreadful fan mail he gets.
All right, well, let's hear it then. From May the 27th, 1958, here's Hancock's Half Hour, The Threatening Letters.
We present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes and Kenneth Williams in
Hancock's Half Hour.
Good morning, all.
Hello. There she goes.
Ah, what a beautiful morning. Let's have the windows open. Ah, good morning, world. Ah, hark at the little birdies. The winged messengers of nature, whistling their joyous tidings, telling us that old man's sun is on his way, chasing away the dark clouds and lighting the whole world up with his sunny smile, sending us his little dancing sunbeams to flit among the flower beds, inviting little Miss Crocus and old Mother Tulip to wake up and spread out their arms and take Billy Bumblebee into their hearts.
How many lumps do you want in your porridge?
You bring everything down, don't you? Have you no poetry in your soul?
Look, mate, the last thing I want to hear when I wake up is a bunch of noisy birds screaming their heads off. Supposing we got up before them. Supposing they was kipping in their nest. How would they like it if we was to stand under their tree shouting and bawling the odds? Do you think they'd wander around talking about the merry sound of the human beings? They couldn't care less about us, boy, and don't you kid yourself. Noisy, screaming little parishes. Why don't they keep their beaks shut?
But they're so merry and happy.
How do you know? How do you know they like getting up? They might be just as miserable as we are. They're probably moaning because there's no worms about.
Then why do they get up so early? Because they're glad to be alive.
No, 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 it's not. It's because they're glad to get out of their nests. Sitting up in that tree all night. In all weather. The rain dripping in the nest. The feathers hanging over the side, soaking wet. I bet they got rheumatism, and that's why they're making all that noise.
Well, I'm sorry for you. I love the mornings. I'm so thankful to wake up and find myself still alive. See beauty wherever I look.
Good morning, everybody.
I'm not looking over there for a start. Always something has to ruin the picture, doesn't it? Look at her. What a sight she is first thing in the morning. Why don't you take the curlers out of your hair and make yourself look presentable? What are those bits of cucumber doing on your forehead?
It does the skin good.
It hasn't done the cucumber much good, has it? What a waste of good food. Cucumbers were put on this earth to eat, not to stick on your head. Come now, hurry up with the breakfast. I want to get out in the garden, nature's fairyland. The beautiful morning, feel on top of the world. Show's going well. Got £9.10 in the bank. Oh, life's been good to me. I've got everything to live for. Look, look, a letter from the BBC. Dear Mr. Hancock, we would like to renew your contract for a further season at double your present salary. Fan letters. Dear Tony, we'd love you. You are an inspiration to us all at the Biscuit Factory. Signed, three hole in the middle jam fillers. Now, perhaps you can understand why my heart is so full of the lust for life.
I love the moon, I love the sun.
I love the forest, the flowers, the fun. I love the wild birds, the dawn.
What's the matter?
You dropped your fork.
Mr. Hancock, what's wrong? You've gone as white as a sheet.
Hancock, what's wrong, boy?
I think he's having an attack. Take his boots off.
Perhaps he swallowed a lump of porridge.
It's this letter.
What letter?
This one. Look.
What does the letter say, Sid?
You give it to me. Dear sir, I have decided the world will be a better place without you and your kind. I have compiled a list of people whom I intend to eliminate. And you have the honor of being first on that list. Don't try to run away. I shall find you wherever you are. I suggest you spend the little time you have left putting your affairs in order. Prepare to meet thy doom. Yours sincerely, V.J.
What does anybody want to get rid of me for? I mean, I haven't done anything. I'm harmless. Why should he want to do away with me?
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it. It's probably from a crank.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Yes. It's a crank. I'm not frightened of cranks.
Yeah, that's right. It's from a crank. There's lots of them, you know. There's homicidal cranks wandering around all over the country. They're harmless.
How can a homicidal crank be harmless? Homicidal means somebody who kills somebody for no reason at all.
No, it's just somebody having you on. Forget about it. Sling it in a waste paper basket.
Yes, of course. Oh, you're right, Sid. It's somebody playing a joke on me. Trying to frighten me. Me. I mean, somebody in the public eye like me, we must expect practical jokes. Prime Minister gets them every day. Ring up Downing Street, see if he's all right.
Oh, stop worrying. Nothing's going to happen to you. As you said, lots of famous people get them. Well, I was reading only the other day Abraham Lincoln used to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, of course he did. I mean, he was shot. Why don't you keep quiet?
Oh, don't take any notice. In a couple of days, you'll forget all about it.
Yes, that's the most sensible thing to do.
I had an uncle who had threatening letters sent to him. He didn't let it worry him either.
Well, there you are.
He just went about his business as though nothing had happened.
Well, of course he did.
He didn't take any notice of it at all.
Well, he's a sensible man. What happened to him?
Well, they got him. Caved his head in just outside Wagga.
Why don't you shut up? I don't want to hear any more about it. It's obviously just a very silly little joke.
I wonder why he doesn't like you.
How should I know why he doesn't like me? Stop talking about it. I just want to forget it ever came. I wonder where it came from. Where's the postmark?
Durham.
Durham, yes. Yes, I didn't go very well up there, I remember. They hated the sight of me.
Why pick on Durham? They all hated the sight of you.
Oh, for goodness sake, don't keep on about the stupid letter.
Hello. Man found dead in room. Police baffled.
Don't keep reading bits out of the newspaper. I'm not interested in men being found in... Here.
What?
The birds have stopped singing. Do you think that's an omen?
There might be something evil in the garden.
It's that porridge. I threw it out of the window.
Don't you think you're being very childish about this letter? Be your age. You're a grown man.
You're quite right. I'm just letting my imagination get the better of me. I love the moon. I love the sun. I love the...
I wouldn't worry even if he does kill you. They'll catch him. They're very good like that, the police.
Thank you so much for your reassurance.
Well, look, if I were you, I'd forget about it. It's only a joke anyway. I wouldn't think any more about it if I were you. Tub, If he does get you, can I have your blue suit?
No, you can't. Why don't you stop putting the mockers on me? I'm going out.
Oh? Are you going to put your affairs in order?
No, I am not. I am not taking any notice of the letter.
I would make your will out if I were you, just in case.
Look, for the last time, I am not letting this have any effect upon me. He's picked the wrong man if he's trying to scare me. I wish he was here now. See how I've reacted to his stupid little threats. Anyone else might have been worried, but I have a bit more moral fibre than most. It'll take more than a childish letter to bother me.
Where are you going?
To the police, mate.
Dear, dear, sir, calm down. Stop shaking, sir. You're quite safe. You're in a police station now. Nothing's going to happen to you here. Now, what seems to be the trouble?
Constable, this letter arrived this morning.
Let's see. Dear sir, better place without you and your kind. Intend to eliminate you. Prepare to meet thy doom. Is a friend of yours?
Hardly sounds like it, does it?
Well, do you recognize the handwriting?
It's typewritten.
Oh, yes. Quite true. It's very well written, you know. You've got a nice turn of phrase. I mean, prepare to meet thy doom. Yes, quite well put, isn't it?
I am not interested in the literary ability of the gentleman concerned. I want to know what you're going to do about it.
Well, what do you suggest?
Yes, that's your job.
Well, I don't really know. I mean, would you like us to have a word with the gentleman?
Have a word? How are you going to find him?
The police have their methods, sir. As soon as he strikes, we'll have him.
Well, what good's that to me?
Oh, yes, well, it is rather unfortunate you being number one on the list. But after all, we've got to think of the others on the list, haven't we?
I am not interested in the others on the list. I am the one who told you about him. I mean, surely that must entitle me to some priority.
But you must appreciate our position, sir. We've got nothing to go on. Until he strikes, we don't know who he is.
But that'll be too late then. I'll be gone.
Why don't you get in touch with him and ask him if he'd mind moving you down the list?
You don't seem to be very interested in this, do you? If I could get in touch with him, then so could you and arrest him.
Supposing you leave the letter with us, I'll have it sent to the crime lab for analysis.
We know what it says. That's all the analysis I need.
Oh, yes, but there's other things the letter says that you can't see. I mean, there might be a thread from his suit or some bits of sand from under his fingernails.
And what would that tell you?
Well, it helps to build up a composite picture of him. It shows us that he wears a suit with a thread missing. So as soon as he turns up to claim that thread, we got him.
How did you get in the police force?
Now, sir, let's adopt that tone of voice. We're doing all we can. Now, let's have a ponder about this. Is that your car parked outside?
Yes, it is.
Do you realise it hasn't got any lights on? And it's an offence to park a car in a main street without any lights on?
Look, my life has been threatened.
That's no excuse for breaking the law. It's an offence to park without lights. I'm afraid I have to make a report.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about? It's broad daylight. It's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yes. Yes. It is. What was I thinking about? Of course, it's just changing over from nights. It's my first morning back on days. And old habits die hard, you know. Where now? Yes. Well, don't you worry. If we find your dog, rest assured, we shall see.
As a matter of interest, did you get any sleep while you were on nights? I haven't lost my dog. I'm the man who brought the letter.
Who's it for?
It's for me.
Well, what do you bring it here for, then?
Look! Let's start again. I received this letter, which is threatened. Is there another police station around here?
Well, you leave it with us, sir. We'll attend to it.
Yes, but what happens if I wake up one night and find him standing over me with a hammer?
Well, in that case, the correct procedure is to pick up the telephone, dial East Sheen 9739, and when they answer, ask for extension 7395, and ask to speak to Constable Perkins. That's me. If I'm not there, try the billiards room.
Thank you very much. I'm sure he'll wait while I do it.
Well, good luck, sir. I'm sure we'll reach the bottom of this mystery.
Thank you, Constable. You've been most helpful.
Not at all, sir. That's what we're here for. Don't you worry, sir. Detection work's not all dashing about in cars like you see on the telly. We might seem slow and unmethodical in our methods, but rest assured, the whole Metropolitan Police Force will be mobilised and working on your behalf.
Now, that's more like it. That's what I came to hear.
Yes, you go home, sir, and get a good night's sleep, and don't you worry any more about it. We'll have him under lock and key in no time at all.
Thank you very much. I'm most reassured.
Goodbye, sir.
Who was that, Harry?
Oh, some crank with a threatening letter. Nothing worth bothering about. Right, your throw. 4 for game.
Well, what did the Rozzers say?
Well, they tell me not to worry. They said the whole police force is ready to spring into action the minute anything happens.
Oh, well, that's a relief. I bet that's a load off your mind.
It certainly is. I'm not worried anymore. Well, I wasn't really worried anyway. I just thought it was my duty to tell the police about it. I mean, I wasn't worried for myself.
By the way, there's another letter for you.
Not from Durham?
No, London.
Oh, thank goodness. Who's it from?
Him. I wouldn't worry, though. He seems quite friendly this time. He just says, see you soon.
That means he's coming. He's in London.
Yep. At 93 from Putney, he could be here in half an hour.
Operator. I'm at East Cheam 9739. No. 9739. Thank you. Hurry up. What are you doing? Get your plug sorted out, woman. Yes. East Cheam 9739. They can't be closed for lunch. It's the police station. What do you mean you know it's the police station? You ring them up. They're supposed to be open day and night. Well, give me the cafe then. Quick, it's urgent. It's a matter of life and death. Thank you. Hello, Bert's Cafe. Are there any policemen in there? No, I'm not the inspector. What's that? They've gone back to work. Thank you. Hello, operator. They're back from lunch now. Try again. How can they be engaged? There's more than one line. I don't care if they are phoning the bit through. Get me the police station this minute. Ah, East Cheam Police Station. I want extension 7395. Hello? Can I speak to Constable Perkins, please? Oh, well, would you try the billiards room, please? Thank you. Hello, billiards room? Constable Perkins, please. I'm not interested in if it's a championship match or not. Yes, but it is no concern of mine if he is going to pot the green.
Where is the green line?
My friend says, where is the green line? It's on the spot down the other end.
Tell him to use the rest, give it a little bit of left-hand side.
Tell him to use the rest and give it a little bit of left-hand side.
Well, that should set him up for the rest of the colours.
I don't care about the rest of the colours. Look, tell him it's the man with the letters. He's had another one. Just a minute, hold on. He's sunk the green and the brown. He's now got the blue up against the cush with the pink and the black on their spots. What do you reckon he ought to do?
Well, if he puts a bit of bottom on it, double it into the middle pocket, that'll bring him right bang on the pink, a little bit of top, and he'll follow right through, ready for the black.
No, I don't think so, Sid. If he puts a bit of left-hand side on it, that takes him round the table onto the pink from the other cushion.
What are you talking about? He'll follow through to the pocket and give five away.
No, not if he puts enough left-hand side on it.
Don't be silly.
Look, I don't wish to be a drag on anybody, but this is my life. This is my life that's in jeopardy. I might be violently attacked any minute now. Besides, if he puts left-hand side on it, he's going to snooker himself. Look, just tell him to hit the thing and get to the phone. Oh, it's all right, he's miscued. Oh, he's going to be in a good mood now. Hello, Constable Perkins. Hard luck, old man. Look, I've had another letter. He's in London now. Yes. Yes, I'm sorry about you missing the blue. But this maniac, he's in London now, and he said he'll see me soon. That means he could arrive at any time now. He might be walking up the garden path this very minute.
It's him. He's here. Send the Black Maria. Get as many men down here as soon as you can. Look, you stand behind the door, Sid. Bill, you grab the poker, then when I open the door, hit him. Right now.
I'm sorry to bother you, Mr. Hancock. I left my key behind. I've been down to the shops.
Why didn't you shout through the letterbox it was you? We've got the police coming down. The police? We've got to stop them. Operator, operator. East Cheam 9739, extension 7395. Constable Perkins, if he's not there, try the billiard room. Oh, dear.
What?
They've left. Constable, I assure you, you've arrested the wrong man. This is William Kerr, an Australian vagabond. Whoosh. I mean, should be well known to you. He's not the man who wrote the letters. He's never written a letter in his life.
He was caught holding a poker in a very menacing position. It's good enough for us. We made an arrest. That's all we're interested in.
But you've got the wrong man.
I'm sorry the case is closed. He'll go for trial tomorrow morning.
But you can't send him for trial.
You don't seem very grateful, sir. We probably saved your life. A minute later, he'd have probably caved your head in.
But he's a friend of mine.
Might I suggest you be more careful in your choice of things? He's a very dangerous man. We found a concealed weapon upon his person. It appears to be a small bow and arrow with a string missing. Our crime laboratory are working on it. We'll soon find out what it is.
Show it to me. That's his boomerang. All Australians carry boomerangs. Bow and arrow with a string missing.
Nevertheless, he hadn't got a license for it, so we're holding him on that as well. You just leave everything in our hands and go home, so you won't be bothered by him anymore. You're perfectly safe now.
I demand you release him... What's the use? It's like talking to a brick wall. You haven't heard the last of this, my good man. I'll get my friend out, don't you worry. They've arrested Bill. They think he's the letter writer. We've got to get him out.
If you received another letter while he's in jail, that would prove he didn't write them. I'll type one out. I'll put, your last hour has come. I shall be here any moment.
Hey, here, here. There's another letter just come for you.
What does it say?
Your last hour has come. I shall be here any moment.
Oh, no. He's after me. My last hour has come. He says so.
Well, take it to the police.
No. They won't take any notice of me anymore. They think I'm a bit off as it is. Besides, if I set foot outside here, he might have me. No, thank you. Under the floorboards, me. Sydney,
yes.
You take the letter to the police.
All right.
That'll show them that Bill is innocent and bring them all down here to guard me. Go on, run, man, run.
Call in at the florist on the way, Sydney. Tell him to stand by.
Oh, why aren't the police here? Sid's been gone an hour. What's happened to him? Hello? Anthony Hancock speaking. Yes, Constable Perkins. Did Sid James arrive? Oh, good. Pardon? No. Look. Yes, but... Oh, stone me.
What's wrong?
They've arrested Sid. They said, thank you very much for sending him along. They've been after him for years.
Oh, don't you worry. I'll go down to the police station. I'll get both William and Sydney released and bring the police down here myself. You lock yourself in and close all the windows. Now, don't worry. You'll be all right. Nothing's going to happen to you. Can I have my week's money before I go?
No, you can't. If I give you that, you'll be off. I won't see you again either. Go on, get down to the police station. Alone. Don't panic, lad. Bolt the door. Window shut? Yes, never get in there. Now, where can I hide? I'll get in the sideboard, I think. No, I'll sit in the chair back to the wall. And I can see everything that's going on. You're not frightened. You're not frightened. Keep saying to yourself, you're not frightened. You're not frightened. After all, it's only one man, me against him. How do I know it's only one man? Might be the whole of Durham. Might be a march down. No. It's one man. One harmless crank. With a gun. I'll reason with him. He'll probably be quite a nice bloke. I'll say, hello, old man, have a drink. What did you say your name was? Tom. Hello, Tom. How are you? Well. Now. What's all this about you wanting to murder me? Here's a ticket for Hancock's half hour. There, you see, I'm not a bad sort of chap, am I? You won't hurt me now, will you? You like me now, don't you? You won't touch me, will you? Who am I kidding? He'll clobber the life out of me. I mustn't panic. I must not panic. Relax. Don't think about it. Just do something to occupy your mind. Feed the goldfish. That was a funny film you saw last night, wasn't it? Oh. Take hold of yourself. Come on now. Pull yourself together, man. Have a drink. That's better. Oh, it's marvellous what a glass of cream soda can do for one. Oh, dear. I wonder what I'll look like with white hair. Now, sit down quietly. Now, you'll be all right. What's that? Oh, the phone. It's the police station. Hello. Anthony Hancock speaking. Hello? Who's there? Hello? Hello, who is it? Hello? Hello? Who are you? Who is it? Hello? He's hung up. It was him. He knows I'm here now. I've given the game away. If I hadn't answered, he might not have come. I bet he was in that phone box around the corner. He's probably out in the garden by now, coming up the path. It's him. I can hear him. He's coming to get me. Oh, Mother, I'm sorry I said those things about you. Where are you, Mother? He's coming to get me, Mother. They've stopped. The footsteps have stopped. He's outside the door. I'll bluff him. That's it, I'll bluff him. All right, men, train the machine gun on the door. You 15 men, get ready to pounce on him. Have you got the hand grenades ready, Sergeant? Yes, sir. Corporal?
Sir?
Tear gas ready?
Yes, sir.
He's walking into a trap. He doesn't know it. Machine gun crew, are you all ready? Sir? Ah, sir. Yes, sir. Sir. Yes, sir. Right, man, he can't get away. If he's got any sense, he'll... go back to Durham while he's still got the chance. Have the battalion of paratroopers arrived yet, Sergeant?
They're hidden in the garden, sir.
Stand by. And the minute he comes in, let him have it with all guns. I get in. Hey, night. Don't come near me. Don't touch me.
This is the BBC Light Programme. Here is the news. In Durham this morning, the police detained a man accused of sending threatening letters through the post to several public personalities. He pleaded guilty and reserved his defence. East Cheam. Mr. Anthony Hancock, the well-known comedian, this morning went berserk and violently attacked a vacuum cleaner salesman who called... He was detained at East Cheam police station and bail was refused. Friends say he's been overworking lately.
Well, sir, this is a very serious position you're in. What do you propose to do about it?
There's only one thing I can do, Constable. I shall pop the red, get on the black, and go for the rest of the colours.
Very wise.
If you'll just push the table up against the cell door, I can just get me cue through the bars. All right, quiet, please. This is a championship match. No talking while the man's in play. Get the triangle ready for the next game. Right, eyes down for a full house. Now, let's see. Prisoners 3, Rosses none. Where's the chalk? I'll just chalk up a minute.
That was Hancock's Half Hour, starring Tony Hancock with Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes and Kenneth Williams. Theme and incidental music composed and conducted by Wally Stott. The show written by Alan Simpson and Ray Galton. The program, which was recorded, was produced by Tom Ronald.
That was Hancock's Half Hour, The Threatening Letters, the first of Ray Galton and Alan Simpson's choices on We Did It Our Way.
I'd forgotten the ending there where he does all the voices himself, you know, plays the entire army. I think it must have been that BBC couldn't afford the £5 acting fee to get a few extras in, so he did it all himself.
On 7, this is I Did It My Way with Ray Galton and Alan Simpson, and coming up next, a radio reworking of TV's Comedy Playhouse.
Well, I did it my way!